an interactive time, and we want to go till the break with some dialogue, and then after the break, we'll pray together. So we'll actually put into practice what we talk about. It's not always bad to do that, and just enjoy the time with one another. I do have 4 boys and 1 wife, and the guys do keep me busy. They're ages 6, 9, 12, and 15, so they're on the go. Usually when we schedule events, we figure, well, if we take this one over to this game, he'll be 10 minutes early, but if we drop him off, that'd be good, because then we'll only be 5 minutes late to the other game over here, and then when this one's over, we'll bring everybody over here, and oh, you know how that goes. So, lots of fun. Well, I really do enjoy praying and talking about prayer, and so much enjoy coming into the presence of God. And not so much just praying and reading prayers or whatever, but I want so much to experience the presence of God. And that's really the thing that drives me and motivates me and to just see Him. And that's what we want to ask Him for, and I believe He wants that so much, to be with us. And I think the number one issue and the number one thing when we look at prayer, the start in all prayer begins with a focus on God the Father. And you know, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6 to the disciples when they ask, well, how do we pray? Or teach us to pray. And He says, well, when you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. And I know many times I get caught up, that's kind of the introduction to the Lord's Prayer. You kind of say that, and then you say the other things that are the heart of the prayer. But I don't believe that is the introduction. I believe that's the prayer. That's the focus of the prayer, and we'll talk about that and all that means. But why don't we, before we get into this, let's commit our session here to Him, and let's look to Him and ask Him to guide us. Our Father, we do hallow Your name this morning. It is a wonderful privilege to be able to look up into Your face and say, hallowed be Thy name, and say, Abba, Father, Holy God, we bless Your name. And Lord, this morning as a group, right here in our midst, we want to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that name that's above every name, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, perfect, holy, flawless. There's no mistake. There's no imperfection. There's no scratch. There's no blemish. There's nothing wrong in Your name. Your name, Lord, is above every name. And one day, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And we want to do that right now. We want to just lift up Your name and exalt You, Master. We want to glorify You because You're worthy. You're worthy of all praise. And Lord, just let our hearts now focus on You this morning. Let us see You, wonderful Redeemer. We ask You to take control of this time And Holy Spirit, we pray you would brood over this time. You would just give oversight. That you'd take us by the hand as little children and lead us in our thoughts and our perceptions and our picture of you. Let us see you, Lord. And Father, we do ask for your presence now to be among us. And I know theologically we are gathered in your name, and so you are in our midst. But Lord, we pray, we want to engage you. We want you active in our minds and in our thinking and in our lives. So we surrender to you and ask you to teach us and lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to just focus our time this morning around a verse in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 15 of Hebrews. Let me just say, pick up from where we were talking before we prayed. I really have been moved by the importance of worship and praise and waiting on the Lord. And I think they're probably the most important and also the most neglected aspects of prayer. We seem to do real well when someone says, "Would you pray for me on this?" Or we meet for a prayer meeting like this, and why don't each of you write out three prayer requests and hand it to the person on your right? And so then I pray for Joe and his finances and this situation in his business and get right into it, and I can do that. But the matter of focusing on him and worshiping him and seeing him and waiting on him, I think that's hard for us, and it's neglected. Welcome.
Thank you.
And that's what I want to talk about a little bit this morning in that area. So Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, says, "Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name." Now let's just look at this verse and kind of go phrase by phrase. And he starts out and he says, "Through him, then." And it's through him then because he's been talking about all about him and the significance of him and everything that Jesus Christ has done for us. And it's through him, it's through the Lord Jesus Christ that we offer up praise to the Father. It's in his name. It's in his character. It's not just in Jesus' name, but it's in the character and all that Jesus Christ stands for and all of who he is and all of what his name means. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. It's all of because of his nature, his person. It's because of all he represents. It's because of all he's done for us. It's because of who he is. We give praise. That's why we give praise. He's the motivation for prayer. And Psalm 147 verse 1 says, "We give praise. Praise the Lord." It's good to sing praise to our God, for it's pleasant, and praise is becoming. It's just good. And it does something inside of us. Something happens inside of us when we just get outside of ourselves and we just look at him and praise him. Of course, Psalm 113, verse 3, "From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised." And I think the significance just all day long, the name of the Lord is to be praised. He deserves it. He's worth it. We owe it to Him. Just all day long, giving praise to Him. And you know, I can think of situation after situation where I've prayed and prayed, that is, telling Him what I need, and nothing happens. And I think of one particular situation just a little while back. My wife had lost the engagement part of her wedding ring, the one that counts with the with the diamond in it. And well, you know, that's not the end of the world. But we thought, oh Lord, isn't there a way to find that? And you know, we prayed about that, and God, this seems like Your will. I mean, why would You want us to lose the engagement ring? And on, and telling Him what He ought to do, and one night, God just kind of led me to seek Him. I don't do this real often, but I ended up staying up all night and praying. And there was a time where He just kind of touched my heart, and I was just led to worship Him. And that's all I did. It was quiet and it was dark and just kind of me and Him. And just worshiped Him and focused on Him and praised Him and kind of put all my attention on Him. And kind of like in the middle of all of that, He said, go check in the heater vent for that ring. Now I say, He said. That was just the impression that was on my heart. Now, and the heater vent in this other room. And so, you know, I kind of kept going and brushed that aside, and because I didn't want to lose this time with the Lord. And He said, go look in the heater vent in that other room. And then for the ring. And I thought, well, if it went in the heater vent, that sucker went down into the, it went down in the vent, and I can't even get my hand in there. Go look in the heater vent. So I got up and went and, you know, pulled the deal out of the floor, the whatever you call that, or the air comes up. So I pulled that plate off and I kind of put my hand down, and there were some crayons and other things that go with four boys, and reached down a little further. Doggone. And there was a ring. And I wasn't thinking about the ring, and I wasn't focusing on the ring, but there's just something when we get outside of ourselves and just focus on Him, that He does something. And you know, you can't label those if this, then that, and He just moves and He just works the way He wants to, and it's so special. So it's through Him. And then it says, through Him then let us continually offer up. And the thought, it is continual. And we can look at that several different ways by saying either that, well, it really doesn't mean what it says because it's not possible to do this continually. I mean, you know, life's really busy and there's so much to do and on. So it doesn't mean what it says. Or we can look at it another way and say maybe it does mean what it says. And if it means what it says, how do you do that? How do you continually offer up praise to Him? And I like Revelation chapter 4, if you want to turn up to that. Look, starting in verse 8, It says, the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. They do not cease to say, Holy, holy, holy. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne. Now, when do the 24 elders fall down? Well, when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks. And they're doing that continually. So what are the 24 elders doing? They fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Worthy art Thou, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou dost create all things, and because of Thy will they existed and were created. And I think it's kind of a preparation for heaven that we get trained and learn more and more how to worship Him through the day as things come along, to give Him thanks, to thank Him in situations, give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And learning to get outside of ourselves and look upon Him and worship and focus on Him. Now, the verse in John chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus says, I do only those things that I see the Father doing. And I think that's, what do we need to be doing? What do we need to be about? And I think that comes in learning to look at Him. And how can we do only those things we see Him doing? We have to be looking at Him. We have to be focusing on Him and looking to Him. And that's a challenge for me. But in everything, the stack of phone calls to return and this problem to address over here and this junk over here that needs attention and these deals over here. And well, what is the Father doing? What's He doing? And rather than trying to figure out what we can do and what we can generate and what we can crank up, well, where's He already working? What's He about? And get in touch and in step with that. Okay, then after we get mastered of doing this continually, He says, we offer up a sacrifice of praise. And just think about that a little bit. I believe praise and worship is a sacrifice. For one thing, we're getting our eyes off of ourselves. We're giving up ourselves and we're looking up to Him. We're going to focus on Him. And so we're kind of giving up me and looking to Him. And it's also just taking time to do it. That we want our schedule. We want our life, we want things that we're about. We're going to have to maybe cut some things out and sacrifice those to look to Him. But it's worth it. I mean, He'll make up all that time. We waste so much time anyway running around in circles, and He'll make that up. But it's a sacrifice. And those 24 elders, you know, it says they cast their crowns before the throne, giving up their riches, giving up the earthly possessions, those things that it cast those before Him. He deserves it all. He's worthy of that. So it's a sacrifice and a surrender to Him. Then looking a little bit further in the verse, the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips. And I think first of all about fruit, with trees, healthy plants very naturally produce fruit. They don't strain, they don't grunt, they don't fight. It happens very naturally in a healthy plant that fruit comes. And it says this is a fruit of our lips. And I think for praise that we're talking about the heart. The key is our heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if we have trouble speaking praise to Him, rather than saying, I don't feel like it, maybe we need to ask Him to touch our heart and get a hold of our heart. And then once He has a hold of that and He takes that and molds it the way He wants, then very naturally out of the heart the mouth speaks. And we want to talk to Him and praise Him and worship Him. And it is spoken. I don't know why, but there are many times through the Scriptures He talks about speaking that praise to Him. So I think He likes to hear that. And again, it's good for us. Praise is becoming. It's good to speak that out and worship Him and talk to Him. And so then the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. And just the only other observation here in this verse is just seeing that this whole thing of beholding Him, the whole process of looking up into His face and seeing the Father, seeing the Lord. And that's so special. And you know, those four boys, every one of them, when they were growing up, about 2 years old or so, where they're functioning pretty well, and I sit and I hold them, and I can think of times with every one of them where they just kind of look up into my face, and you see those little eyes and the nose and mouth, and it's just looking up. And of course, if there's sunglasses or if you wear glasses, those have to go. You know, they grab those and throw those off. And it's just kind of like, you know, they put the little hand here. And it's like, Dad, I just want to get a good look at you. And it just melts my heart. It's so neat to see the little children look up into my face. And I think that's the way God is. When we look up, and He tells us throughout the Psalms, just beholding His face. Behold the face of God. Looking up into His eyes and just getting to know Him. And that's just worshiping Him and adoring Him. And the other thing about praise and worship, it's not just the introduction. It is completely adequate and perfect unto itself. And again, how many times I hear things like, you know, you're either on your way to church and running as fast as you can, or trying to get into the meeting, and, well, we're late. Well, but I don't think the message has begun yet. I think probably they're still just in the worship time. And so that's, you know, we're okay. We haven't missed the real part of the time. And it's just the way we think. It's an introduction. It's before something else comes, yet it's not. It's wholly complete in itself to worship Him and fall down before Him. And that would be church in itself, and you don't need the message. Just get down before Him. So that's just another observation as I think about this verse. And you know, when we're praying, I always like to ask for His presence And it's not the theological, people say, well, why do you pray for that? You know, it says where two or three are gathered together in His name, there He is in our midst. Well, that's true. But I want, it's more than Him just being there. I want Him engaged with me, or I want Him active in me. And I need to get Him, get in step with Him. And it's that kind of thing that... where it's so obvious that He's present among us. And He's working among us. And sometimes, you know, in group prayer, I ask that if Jesus Christ were to come physically, come down the hallway, and He were to come stand right here in our midst, and just kind of look at you, and get your eyes linked with His, what would you want to say to Him? And what would you say to Him? Yeah. Most likely, we fall down on our face before Him and have nothing to say. Or, forgive me, Lord. You know, I've just... screwed things up all my life, basically. And He knows that. But then maybe we get past that. And we just keep looking at Him. And what do we want to tell Him? What do you want to say? And I think that's what we want to do when we enter into worship. It's not just saying those things, you know, or... it kind of click in a group, or they're the theologically, doctrinally correct things to say. Get outside of all of that. Just let our heart talk to Him and pour out to Him and fall down before Him and just look at Him. You know, Master. Cry before Him. You know, It's just worshiping Him. And as we said before, something happens when we do that because He inhabits the praises of His people. He comes and He takes up residence among praises. Now in the physical realm, that's a little hard to figure out how you build a house out of praise, but He does that. That's where He wants to be. Where is He working? Well, that's where He wants to be. He inhabits. He wants to live among our praises and in our worship. And we do it because He's worth it. He's worth it all. He's worthy of it all. And the whole matter of, we mentioned at the start, the fact that prayer begins with focusing on the Father. There's a missionary in Argentina named Eduardo Silvoso, and perhaps you've heard of him or maybe not, but a very godly saint. And he's talked about in all kinds of areas of prayer. Let's see here. He's talked about the fact that when we pray, there are perimeters of prayer. And he said that, again, we kind of start in the inward circle and work our way out in prayer. And so we start with God. And we focus on God in terms of praise. And confession, again, was said, what would we say if the Lord Jesus Christ walked in this room? Forgive me. And we start and kind of get all of that cleaned out and get our focus right so we're right with Him and our ears are cleaned out. We can hear from Him. Any personal things we need to deal with, we work that through. And then we begin to move out on the perimeters. Praying for our family, spouse, children. And we work our way out a little further to the body of Christ and other believers. And then we go out to the lost. Now, there's nothing that says you can't skip one and do the other and all of that. But I think his point is that we start with God and we get things right and get our perspective right. Then we move out. And he deals all of the time in areas of horrendous warfare and demonic and deliverance and all manner of battling the enemy. And says you just don't take on the enemy without first being totally connected with the Father and being right in his wavelength. Because any warfare we do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you just have to be careful on that as we go out and battle and do warfare, that first we start with our relationship with him. And just call your attention here to some how to express praise to God. And this is interesting to me, but a while back I just went through and looked up scripture that talks about worship and praise and how we do that. And when we tell of his greatness, when we just tell somebody about the greatness of Almighty God, that's worshiping him. That's part of from the rising of the sun to its setting, that his name is to be praised. And observing his creation, when you see what he's done and his handiwork, that honors him. Expressing who he is, the attributes of God, his character, his person. Giving thanks is a means of praising him. Just thank you, Lord, for what you did. It honors him. It shows we're giving him credit. And we have to be careful. So many times I've heard people pray. An example would be in the medical area. And somebody's really in a bad way, and we pray for them. Lord, would you touch this person? And then I get the report back and hear that the doctors were able to sew this up and reset this and do this. And so now they're doing better. And yes, the Lord used the doctors. But we have to be careful in those situations to give God the glory. And other things, you know, we had this problem over here. We couldn't figure it out. And so we prayed about it. And then the report comes back that, well, somebody had this idea, and so we decided to try this, and it worked. And there's no mention of God. So we want to give him thanks. That's a means of praising him. Singing, shouting, and crying. This verse in Ezra is so interesting because you see a mix of ages of people. And it says that they were giving thanks where the foundation of the temple had been laid. And the group was giving thanks and singing and worshiping before the Father. And it says the young people were jumping up and down and shouting and giving praise to God. And the older people were weeping before the Lord. And you just see a difference in perspective of how the older people have waited years and years and years and years to see this thing. And finally, it was just such deep, deep, deep appreciation. And the younger people, hey, this is great. You know, we got the foundation in with not having the other perspective. Same situation, same context, but different means of expressing praise and worship to him. And that's good. That is great. And so you get in a setting, and I'm always very hesitant to say, let's worship him by doing this. Rather, let's, you know, let whatever the Lord says to you. If you want to sit, sit. If you want to stand, great. If you want to walk around, if you want to lift your hands, if you want to jump, whatever, just do that. But let's all respect one another and honor one another where we are and what the Lord's doing. And that's a neat verse to see so many different things going on in one setting. Of course, the next one is really good navigator culture. The dancing and leaping. And we know that's all fanatical and too emotional and on and on and on. But it's biblical. And so maybe we're not comfortable with it depending on where we are. But in the right heart and setting, it's biblical. And that's okay. Stretching hands toward Him, and you can really get in trouble on that one. You know, that's get in the wrong setting and lift your hands to the Lord, and uh-oh. But it's biblical. And you don't have to do it all the time, but we can ask God to free us up to do that when He wants to. You know, I talk to people all the time who say, you know, when I'm at home and they're in the room, and so many times I just love to just lift my hands up to the Lord and worship Him and praise. But boy, I just can't do it when I get in a group, because, you know, what are people going to think? And I think that's part of our learning to grow and mature in our corporate praise. You know, there's also the other side of the camp where that's all you can do. You better be lifting your hands when you come and worship Him. And it's unthinkable to sit there and do anything else. It shows you're not with it. And we need to mature in our corporate worship as well as our individual worship. And the next one's great for Sunday morning when you can't move and get out of bed for church. It's totally legitimate to praise Him on your bed, and just, it can be done. And of course, with instruments, trumpet, harp, lyre, just instruments that exalt His name, lift Him up. Everywhere in His mighty expanse, in His sanctuary, from heaven, in the heights, from the earth, from the deep. How to express praise to God. Now let me give you one other thing here, and then we'll interact over this for a little bit. I'll put it back up in just a minute, okay? I think it is extremely helpful to be able to have the names of God before me in terms of worship and praise, and looking to Him in terms of what His name is. And here again, when we're praying biblically and we're talking to Him biblically, how do we do that? Well, these are the names of God, and in many cases, names He gave Himself and said, this is my name. But you look, He's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And somebody told me one time who studies the Hebrew and all that it literally means He's already provided. Sure, we can make copies of it. Okay. He's already provided. So when we have needs, should we come to Him and ask Him? Well, I think that's a means of worship, because you're acknowledging His name. He is the provider. We're going to Him as opposed to, well, let's see, let's figure out how we can do this. But we're first going to go to Him and look up to Him. His name is Jehovah Rapha, our healer. And so when someone is sick and when they're medical problems, do we go to Him? Oh, yeah. and let's ask Him to heal. Now, there are numbers of reasons why people are not healed in many situations. It's a complex thing. There's a lot of stuff going on in that deal. But that is His name, and I think He wants us to call on Him for that. Jehovah Nisi, our banner. You know, the banner, the Olympics before. Here we come in with a parade and the banners that go before and just bring the majesty and the occasion. Well, He is our banner. Jehovah Makadesh, the sanctifier. He is the one who sanctifies us, sets us apart for His work. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the God of peace. His name is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. Elyon, the Lord Most High. Rohi, the Lord our Shepherd. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. We're not righteous because of how we get all this stuff figured out and we're doing everything that's right. We'll never get there. He is our righteousness. It's because of Him. And this last one, Jehovah Shammah, is a neat name because it just means wherever you are, whatever situation you're in, whatever you're going through, whatever mess you find yourself in, He's there. He's there with you. He hasn't left you. He hasn't forsaken you. He's going to use it. He's going to use the situation for good. God causes all things to work together for good for those who love Him. Jireh. That's in my Hebrew dialect. I'm probably 6 miles off, but yeah, I see. Yes, it is. So how do we worship Him and how do we praise Him? This is an excellent way to just focus on those names. And I find that generally when we talk about worship and praise, we have to grow in it. When you get little groups and say, let's just take some time now and worship and praise Him. We'll get out a few sentences and we'll focus on Him. And then pretty soon, I think we're so needy and we just see who we are before Him pretty soon. It's, you know, Lord, I just see how I fall so far short of who You are and my sin. And Lord, I really need You to do this and I really need You to do that. And that's good, but just to keep looking up at Him and, you know, keep our eyes off of ourselves and just keep looking up at Him, then His name is an excellent way to do that. And there's I'll just pass these around. You can take one of them. But they are 365 names and titles and attributes of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I don't know if they intended that there's one day, you know, one for each day of the year. What? Yeah, this will be on the test. And but just to look at this and put this through your mind and your spirit of seeing of who He is and what the Bible attributes to Him in terms of attributes and names. I'll just put this back up. Any questions or comments or thoughts? Anything we want to do a little bit?
I'd like to ask about, you mentioned something about the healing. When you're asking about healing, how, you said it was complicated. You just don't go ask, heal so and so. So, it's a process you go through?
Well, no, I think we can. Yeah, I think if somebody is sick, if somebody is, you know, or there's a complication, that we want to pray for them and pray for their healing. And I,
It's not a process, it's a grant.
Yeah, well, it can be a process. And the reason I say that, there can be, even just medically speaking, there are relationships between disease and attitudes where there's bitterness in the heart. Many times, that directly links to physical ailments, where we just harbored bitterness and unforgiveness in our heart. And that can, I mean, there are things like that that can then become manifested in physical kinds of ailments. So there are things like that going on that many times we're not aware of when we're praying for somebody. They just say, you know, I have arthritis and it's really crippling me. And would you pray? Well, sure, we'll pray. But I'm just saying there could be other things going on there. And there's also an aspect of suffering that is very biblical. We don't like that. That's not fun. That's not neat to put out there. But it is an aspect, and God's timing in healing is also something only He understands. And so there are a lot of factors going on in that when I say we're praying for healing and what's happening there.
What if one died really? Maybe he doesn't want that person to be healed in that way. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that very well, but maybe he wants that to be, and so thy will be done.
Yeah. I feel like we can come in boldness. I mean, if we have a need and we feel like we need to get from here to California and we're out of money, we'd have every drive to say, I need money, or I need a plane ticket, or I need a train or a car or something, and I need that. Now, God may not want us in California, and we surrender that to Him and all, but we ask Him, would you provide the money? And I think we just come and would you heal? Would you bring healing to this person? And if, you know, as you pray, and we'll talk about this a little more in a minute too, in terms of waiting on the Lord, sometimes God will show you things in situations of what is going on here. And Lord, if you're wanting Joe to, if there's something you're wanting to show him now that he's flat on his back, would you do that? And make that very clear to him, and then would you restore him? If there, you know, things like that of entering in, and would the Lord give you a little more insight into the situation to know how to pray there? So, let's see.
There's just one thing. As you were saying, this is Revelation 4, where continuing his word, preachers give praise to God. We were listening to a video of Holiness of God, and we used some of the scriptures in Revelation, where you're continually offering praise. I was just trying to deal with that, how continually we're offering praise in heaven. And just recently, I'm using the Lord's Prayer to use as my prayer. I use that. I lift it all in our Father in heaven. Newark goes, and it says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You said that, you know, the prayer you give, O Lord God. And I've been thinking my prayer time that I want His will to be done in my life on earth, because it is at heaven. His will be done at heaven. And He needs us to spread our lives. And I never really hit you when you said that in the prayers. Because it says to you, rejoice always in everything you have. And you're to begin to learn how to do that.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. Yeah, He doesn't say when the car breaks down and there's a flat that we're supposed to get out and say, Oh my God, thank you for this rotten car that, he says, give thanks in all things. So it's in the midst of that junk that is a drain. It is a drag. And it is a problem. In the midst of that, praise Him. Well, Lord, I praise You and I thank You. You're going to use this somehow. And I don't understand it. And Lord, this, you know, I'm frustrated, but I want to praise You. I want to give You thanks and honor You. Yes.
Our pastor used to say, don't waste your pain. And by that he meant, when you're in adversity, you've got to. And I just think there's a lot of wisdom. And as you're praying for people that are ill, or, you need to pray, how God is using you in that life and in the life of others.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Oh, those are good thoughts. Okay, does everybody have this one down that wants to write it now versus get copies or whatever I'll put this one back up for a little bit and we can keep. Okay, any other comments or thoughts?
Just talking about a process. I was trying to find it and I can't raise my hand, but it's important to look at it. What we're supposed to get the elders.
James 5,
That's the process.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, let that person call for the elders. And let them anoint with oil. And is that right to do? Well, what does oil have to do with somebody's broken leg? And what does oil have to do with this or that? And well, I don't know. But he says, let them anoint with oil. So, yeah, I think that's very biblical. Yes.
So just when you mentioned that, I thought some of you did that. Harry Durden, who was in Bogota.
Yes.
And they're very close friends of ours, and they work with an advocate. And he had leukemia. He was in the Air Force and had leukemia, and knew he was going to die. And someone challenged him to do that, and he and his wife went out of obedience to the scriptures and had the elders pray and anoint him with oil. And we were very close to them during that time, walking through those dark days with him. And then he had a bone marrow transplant and almost didn't make it through that, but he was totally healed. And that was like 13 years ago. And now he's serving the Lord out in the mission field and going strong.
And that was a process.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm aware of that situation and very much a process. And numbers of things the Lord did in his life and in their life through all of that. It wasn't just go deal with that. Yet sometimes God wants to just do miraculous things to demonstrate who He is to people. And in a sense, it doesn't have anything to do with this person suffering or whatever is right there. And it's bam. And you go, gee whiz. Wow. And the only thing you can say is God did that. And sometimes He very much wants to do that.
You know, that reminds me of the only time that I know that I've ever done this or been involved in this or was when my father was ill, dying of cancer. And I left my teaching back here at College Springs and went home to Shiner to be with my mom and dad. And I just met him and he said, well, let's call the elders from my church and we'll go pray for your father if he would. That would be all right. And he asked my mom, and she said, well, yes, let's do that. So we had the elders come out, and they were anointed my father as well. He was lying in his bed at the time. And we all gathered our hands together. And as one of the elders prayed, I'll never forget this, but there was a just, it was like, well, I know it was the Holy Spirit. I never had this feeling in my life, but it was like this power started in my feet. It came up through my body and went up the top of my head. And I just felt that my father was healed. I just had this feeling that he was, but I didn't quite know that. And it was about 2 months later, it was after my father had radiation therapy, but it was lung cancer. And they did another test, which is really severe test to see if cancer was gone. And the cancer was in my parents' test. And I just really feel that we were being obedient to that. And my father was able later to get off his oxygen for like 1 month, or two or three weeks before he died. To walk him down the aisle.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think we need to be obedient, and we're not enough.
I think there's the matter of obedience as well as humility. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where praise and worship enters in again. There's a humbling of ourselves in that whole process of, you know, whether we get on our knees and acknowledge Him or just acknowledging Him. It's humbling ourselves and putting Him up, lifting Him up higher above us and putting Him first. And in the same kind of a thing, you're humbling yourself. And it's obedience, but also some of that stuff, you know, well, I'm going to look pretty silly if nothing happens. I do this and nothing happens. And, well, so what? So it's obeying and humbly walking before Him. He honors that. Yes, ma'am.
I believe in my old age, I have that heals individually with each situation. I think we want a formula that will work every time. Just like making a cake. And God doesn't work that way.
That's right. Yeah, we would turn it into mechanics pretty quickly if we figured that sucker out. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Our situation, our son has been taken through this time. So here, we can go back to that. We always wanted to make people in our house and all that.
Excellent. Yeah. Oh, that's great.
And God's ways are not our ways. I like to think about Ananias when he got up that day and God said, "Welcome, Saul. He's coming to your house." And he must have said, "Wait a minute, Lord. Are you sure?" But he was obedient.
Yeah.
And God had a larger plan that he couldn't see. And he was almost afraid to do this. And yet, he was just
Yeah. Well, thank you.
I have a question on the practical end of prayer. You know, so many times young Christians or even Christians who are not young Christians have a very difficult time praying in a group or in front of somebody. What are some things that you could suggest that would help people to pray audibly? Things like many times they're very willing to speak out in a Bible study. They're willing to do a lot of things audibly. But when it comes to prayer, they're constricted or totally paralyzed. But the idea of having to say something out loud.
Yeah. Well, that is a good question. We can interact over that a little bit. What can we do for people who it is so hard to pray in a group? I'll kick it off with one thought, and then we can just interact over that. But I think a lot of times praying Scripture. And even sitting down with the person and helping them see them, there are numbers of passages in the Bible for various situations. And if you want to know if you're praying according to God's will, it's not all that bad to take a passage and you just pray that. And so you you help them see, well, the Bible does say numbers of things. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And just say, I want to thank you, Lord. Just want to say thanks. Just a little bit of initiative on their own there. And then we go along and he prays, numbers of times that the eyes of their heart would be enlightened. And you see, particularly in the letters, Paul goes through and just, I pray this for you. And he goes on in several verses and what he prays for people. Well, that's something we can pick up on and just tell them, use those as guides. And a lot of times it is a little easier than to read the Scripture and just get used to doing that out loud.
There have been times, when Bible study leaders will directly call on somebody in a Bible study to pray and absolutely put them in finding out the rest. And then they don't come back. I don't know, maybe this is not...
They don't want any more of that blessing.
I haven't experienced it.
We have a group of women that get together, and there seems like there's always the ones who just... it's just not for them to do. And we kind of made a little joke about it, but because there were the strong ones who loved to just start the prayer, close the prayer, and then if they want to fill in, that's fine. But it seems like it's a place of acceptance. I've learned to say, hey, whatever works for you, that's fine. And it's been, I've noticed it's been a struggle for some who just want them to pray out loud, and then the other ones are like, just let them be, And it's funny because we talk about that quite a bit, as a matter of fact. So I've just come for myself just to say, that person knows what works for them.
Another thing that I think would help people that aren't used to praying in front of others is to ask, do they pray out loud when they're alone? Because for most of us, it's odd to hear our own voices. Go up on the side of the hill in the morning and start praying out loud. Hear your voice. And
watch the sheep run.
Because it's a natural thing. It's just not practice.
Yeah, that's a good way to learn, is just start by yourself. The other side of that issue of being fearful to pray in a group is of being fearful to be quiet in a group. And many times when you get a group say, just like this, we come together and we're going to pray. And we say, now let's just be quiet before the Lord. A lot of times we're very uncomfortable with that. And it's either because we feel like we're not doing something, we're not productive. You know, we have to be doing or at least telling Him something to get with it. Or maybe we're uncomfortable. Just being quiet before Him. And, you know, I've seen that numbers of times where we say, now, we're going to worship the Lord here together. And let's just focus on His love. But before we enter in and just start addressing His love and what comes to your mind about His love, let's just be quiet and ask Him to bring some things to mind in the area of His love. And, you know, one group, the person was facilitating, and they said, okay, now let's just take a few minutes and we'll be quiet. And I'll tell you what, it wasn't 5 seconds. And, you know, in fact, I didn't even get my head down, and, you know, and it was, well, Lord, we do just thank You for Your love and how great it is and how wonderful. And so the facilitator said, now that's the kind of thing we want to pray here in just a minute. He said, that's exactly the way, you know, so graciously saying, let's shut up for a while. But it was, that's the way we want to pray. But let's just be quiet for a minute and ask Him to just show us how He wants us to pray. So, you know, here we go again. It wasn't 5 seconds again in somebody else. And I thought, now what is going on? I mean, it's very clear what we're supposed to be doing, but I think sometimes it's just hard when that silence comes, or in between prayers, somebody prays and now it's silent. Oh dear. You know, has this thing gone flat on us or what? What do we do? Instead of just enjoying those times, that's part of prayer too. Just be silent before Me. Well, why don't we take a little bit of a break, and we'll pick up with this and do some praying together and just enjoy this time and see where the Lord leads us.